This is a Squiz Kids podcast. Your fresh take on what's happening in the world around you.
It's been helping solve global problems for almost 80 years. It brings nations together to keep the peace, and it can be both powerful and puzzling. This is your Squiz Kids shortcut to the United Nations, the podcast where we dive into the who, what, where, when, why, and how of the big news stories. I'm Christy Kijarina.
And I'm Bryce Corbett.
Hey Bryce, I was watching the news the other day.
Wait, hold up. You don't just listen to Squiz Kids?
Of course I listen to Squiz Kids, but I like to get lots of other perspectives on the news as well. Anyway, I was watching the news and there were stories about all sorts of things, climate change, conflict, even food shortages. And in all of those stories, they kept saying the United Nations was involved. It got me thinking, what actually is the United Nations?
Oh, come on, Christy, that's an easy one. The United Nations is... it's a whole heap of countries from all around the world that get together and, you know, do stuff, important stuff, in a kind of united fashion.
Yeah, but Bryce, I pretty much already knew that.
See, I'm a genius. We've covered it. What's next?
Oh, not so fast, Bryce. The thing is, they're involved in solving some of the biggest problems the world's facing today, like climate change and helping countries after big disasters. So we should probably know a bit more about them, don't you think?
Yeah, all right, probably. After all, it sounds like the kind of thing we should understand, particularly if they're sorting out all the serious stuff.
Yeah.
Today, we're going to discover what the United Nations is, how it works, and why it matters, even to kids like you listening right now. So, buckle up as we dive into the world of international teamwork, diplomacy, and maybe a bit more than just doing stuff.
Listen carefully, there's a quiz at the end.
What?
So Bryce, you've got a family, right?
Yes, indeed I do. There's my wife and our two kids.
Cool, and anyone else?
Well, yeah, of course, there are our parents, there are our brothers and sisters, our nieces and nephews. When you think about it, it's a pretty big crew.
And do you guys always agree on everything?
That's hilarious. No, we definitely do not.
Well, imagine there are almost 200 of you and you've all got to agree on something really important, like what to have for Christmas dinner. Do you think you could do it?
Christy, that is asking perhaps a little bit too much.
Yes, exactly. Well, there are almost 200 countries in the world and it's super hard for them to agree on big things too. After World War II, way back in 1945, everyone was sick of fighting and wanted to make sure that a world war never happened again. So, lots of countries decided to come together and try to keep the world at peace.
Uh-huh.
And that's how, on October 24, 1945, the United Nations was born.
Uh-huh.
Today, we even celebrate it as the UN's birthday.
Yeah, that's right, Christy. There were just 50 member countries of the United Nations at first, but today, wait for it, there are 193 countries that are members of the United Nations.
Wow!
And their main mission? Keeping the peace around the world.
But hang on, almost 200 countries working together. That, Christy, sounds impossible. How do they even manage that?
That's a great question. Every country in the UN has signed something called the United Nations Charter. It's basically a contract that spells out all the rules and goals to maintain peace and security and to protect human rights.
Uh-huh.
Human rights are basic rights and freedoms that apply to all humans, regardless of your background, beliefs, or where you live. And here's the cool part, no matter how big or small a country is, every single one in the United Nations gets an equal voice in something called the General Assembly.
Hang on a minute, did you say assembly?
Uh-huh.
Ugh, I hate assemblies. Everyone has to sit still, be quiet, listen to boring speeches from the principal.
Well, I hate to break it to you, Bryce, but that's kind of what the General Assembly is, except it's way more exciting.
Okay.
So listen up. It's in loads of different languages. So people wear headphones to hear translations into the languages that they speak.
Oh.
And the UN General Assembly runs from September to December every year.
What?
September to December for one assembly? That is a very long assembly.
Yeah, it is, but it's definitely not boring. So they talk about huge topics like the environment, climate change, human rights, war, hunger, the protection of the world's cultures and heritage. Pretty important stuff.
So it's kind of like the biggest club in the world where everyone has a say and helps each other out when needed.
Exactly.
Huh. Well, that does sound a bit more interesting than I thought. But Christy, how does it all work?
How?
So Bryce, we mentioned the General Assembly, where representatives from almost every country gather at the UN headquarters in New York City each September.
Yes, we did.
And of course, every assembly needs someone to lead it. Someone to keep things going, to keep the order happening.
And to announce when it's lunchtime, obviously.
Oh, obviously. The person who leads the UN is called the Secretary General. Now, every 5 years, the General Assembly vote to elect a new Secretary General. It's their job to manage the day-to-day running of the UN, report on what's happening around the world, and most importantly, help stop disputes and arguments before they turn into something bigger, kind of like the World Police.
Whoa, that sounds like a huge responsibility.
It really is. The current Secretary General is a man named Antonio Gutierrez from the country of Portugal.
But Chrissy, what happens if there's something that's too big or too urgent for one person to handle?
Well, they've got that covered too. That's where the United Nations Security Council steps in.
Right.
It's a smaller, more powerful group within the UN that's responsible for maintaining international peace and security.
Mm-hmm.
There are 15 members in total. Five of them are permanent, meaning they're always on the Security Council.
Yeah.
That's France, the UK, the United States, China, and Russia.
Uh-huh.
Plus, there are 10 other countries that get voted in every 2 years.
But hang on a minute. France, the UK, US, China, and Russia, these are big countries, and some of these permanent members of the Security Council don't always agree with each other, right?
Spot on. That's one of the criticisms of the UN. Those five permanent members, they have a lot of power. In fact, they have something called veto power.
Oh.
That means if 14 of the countries on the Security Council vote to do something, but one of those permanent members says no, then the whole plan can get stopped.
So one country can stop the whole show? That doesn't sound fair.
It's tricky for sure. Some people think that having those permanent members with veto powers makes things a bit uneven. But the Security Council's main goal is to prevent conflicts and to help keep the peace, even when the world's biggest players don't always agree. It's not perfect, but it's the best that we've got.
I suppose so, but I can't imagine how tricky it must be to get almost 200 countries to agree on anything. Christy, this all sounds like stuff that adults would worry about. So how does it affect kids? Why should Squiz Kids care about the United Nations?
Why?
So why should Squiz Kids care about the United Nations? Well, here's something super important. The UN created something called the Convention on the Rights of the Child, which outlines what every kid in the world should have and should be able to do.
Oh, cool. Like PlayStation and unfettered access to all the soft drink and lollies they want? Is that the sort of thing that every kid in the world should have and do?
Not quite.
Oh.
It's things like having clean water,
okay,
nutritious food, and a safe environment.
Right.
So pretty important stuff. Plus the right to go to school and to get a good education.
Okay, yeah, I'd take it. Those things are all very important. Clean water, good food, a safe place to live. But what else?
Here's the fun part of it. They say that each kid should have the right to play and to rest.
Now you're talking. Now that's a rule that I can get behind. Playing and resting should definitely be on every kid's list.
Exactly. The Convention on the Rights of the Child makes sure that kids everywhere are protected and get the basic things they need to grow up healthy and happy.
Thank you.
You've probably also heard of the UN's Sustainable Development Goals.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I have. They're 17 goals that the UN has to end poverty, take care of the environment, and fight inequality by 2030. But how does the UN actually help with all of that?
Good question. The UN has lots of different organisations that focus on making sure all these rights are upheld. For example, UNICEF works to keep kids healthy and safe, whether it's delivering food, making sure kids get vaccines, or helping them to get an education.
So they're looking out for kids right now.
Yeah, and for their future too. The World Health Organization makes sure people around the world stay healthy, while UNESCO helps protect important places in the world of historical and environmental or cultural significance, and ensures kids everywhere can go to school.
So they're not just helping kids, they're also looking after the entire planet, right?
Yep, that's right. The work these organisations do isn't just about today. It's about making sure kids have a safe and healthy future with things like clean air, clean water, and protected places to live and to learn.
Wow, I didn't realise that the UN did all of that. They're pretty much looking out for everyone, from kids to grown-ups and even future generations.
That's right. The UN's work affects everyone, whether it's helping people in emergencies, fighting disease, or tackling climate change. And that's why kids should care. The UN is helping build a better world for us all.
So next time I hear about the UN in the news, I won't just think of a bunch of countries arguing with each other. I'll know they're working hard to help kids and to make the world a better place.
Time for the quiz.
This is the part of the podcast where you get to test how well you've been listening. Here we go. This is a tricky one. How many member countries are there in the United Nations today? Did you say 193? Well done, you.
Oh, well done if you got that one right.
Mm-hmm.
Question number two. In which city is the United Nations headquarters found? Was that a little bit easier? It's New York City.
Woohoo! Question number three. How many permanent member countries are there on the UN Security Council? And remember I said the permanent member countries. Another tough one for you. Congratulations if you said five.
Woohoo! Well, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for joining us as we explored the who, what, where, when, why, and how of the United Nations. Teachers, there are excellent classroom resources related to this topic on the Squiz Kids website, and there's a link to them in the episode notes.
In the meantime, get out there and have yourselves a most excellent day.
Over and out.